ComicBookBookBook.com.
Hello once again, everybody. Thank you for joining me here on this Friday, December 2nd edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour and 15 minutes or so to go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Happy to have you with me here to wrap up another great week on Bang the Book Radio. A lot of stuff to get to today. We'll kick things off with the Week 13 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment. Myself and Cole Ryan coming off of a 4-0-1 week in the Super Contest. We're hoping to roll that momentum over here into this week's action. Of course, Minnesota with the cover last night. So we'll see what that looked like out there in the Super Contest when the pick counts come out on Saturday. Keep it tuned to bangthebook.com. We'll have that Super Contest preview article, for lack of a better term, on Saturday afternoon. Once those pick counts come out, they'll have the 10 selections across our two entries and, of course, our bangthebook.com entry owned by our site creator, Ryan, just a half point out of the money. So make sure that you follow along with that here this weekend. But that'll be coming out on Saturday afternoon, generally about between 2:30 and 3 o'clock. That's when the pick counts usually pop up. And then, of course, also today we'll hear from Brent from DSI Sportsbook with this week's version of the odds report. Before we get into those things, a couple of things I want to mention here. I've talked about it all week, but we're really proud of the content that we have over there at bangthebook.com. We've got all kinds of game previews, matchup data, forum. You can chat with like-minded people. We've got contests. We've got all kinds of stuff. Of course, you already know about the podcast page where we've got the segments for these shows, also the full uncut versions of these shows. My apologies again for yesterday's segment with Brad Powers, our Powers Pick segment with that annoying beeping in the background. Once again, that was out of our control. There was nothing I could do about it. I tried. You hear the audio difference when I tried to use different equipment to see if that would fix the problem. Unfortunately, it didn't. But please, if you can get through it, make sure that you do, because that was an outstanding segment with Brad. I spent all day really pissed off yesterday that we had those audio difficulties that took away from that segment. But all of our segments up over there at bangthebook.com. In that podcast section, we've got free pick videos. On Sunday, we'll have my next round of situational betting articles for the NBA and the NHL. Our sportsbook reviews, take advantage of those. You know, this time of the year, I've talked about how tough of a handicap December is. Want to make sure that you're getting that line value. Make sure you're taking advantage of all of the options afforded to you. We, of course, prefer DSI Sportsbook, where our Bang the Book radio listeners can use the promo code BTB Radio. That'll get you a $10 free bet just for signing up. An additional 50 to 100% deposit bonus based on the amount of your initial deposit. You know, they've got great customer service over there. Easy and pain-free deposits and withdrawals. All that stuff is important to you. It's important to us as well. So that's why we promote DSI the way that we do. We certainly love the Chris family of books there, which also includes Bookmaker and Galaxy Sports. So a few different options there for our Bang the Book radio listeners. But, you know, hey, it's your prerogative. It's whatever you want to do. We've got those sports book reviews. We tell you about all the things going on at the various books, promo codes for all of them. We certainly think the DSI ones are the best. But if you want to try out somewhere else, maybe you already have an account at DSI. Hey, this is the time of year to do it because there's a lot of stuff going on with the bowl games. You know, and places are going to have different bowl game lines based on the exposure that they have, based on the sides that they need. So it's definitely something that you want to keep in mind. Of course, you already know about shopping around for college basketball from futures to game by game. NHL, you want to shop around for money line prices as well. So you know, all of those things available to you over there at bangthebook.com. So with that, we'll go ahead and get into the Week 13 version of our Westgate Super Contest Selection segment with myself and Cole Ryan. All right, I'm joined now by Cole Ryan for our Week 13 Westgate Super Contest Selection segment. Cole, how's it going today, man?
Fired up and ready to go. Another week of football, and we are trending in the right direction.
We are trending in the right direction. You know, about, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks ago, yeah, I felt like things were kind of turning for us a little bit. Now, we weren't getting the results, but we were handicapping the games a lot better. Things were playing out in a way in which we should have been having more success than we were. We had a couple of tough 2-3s. I think we had a 3-2 or a couple 3-2s in there as well. But finally, last week, 4-0-1. Of course, we couldn't get that elusive 5-0. Derek Carr getting hurt for the Raiders, and they blew a 17-point halftime lead, wound up pushing the -3. But we're up to 28-31-1 on the year, and it's not where we wanted to be, but I think that we've grown a lot as handicappers this year.
Oh, absolutely. Look, it's going to sound cliche or even stupid if I say that's what it's all about, because obviously it's not. What it's all about is you want to win and get the money and all the great things that come along with it. But really, that is what it's all about. And we've been in this contest before and have handicapped games before and have gone one way or the other. And I think it's good that at this point, despite what has happened, we're now trending in a positive direction, because I think it shows that we've not only learned a lot, but we've taken on direction. And you mentioned it. It seems like our picks are getting a little more in sync with the way we're going, with the way we're approaching each and every week, and the results prove just that.
Yeah, I don't know if – I mean, this is the second year that we've done this, so I don't know if maybe there was a feeling out process, seeing that both of us were making some adjustments off of having a season last year where, you know, it was our first time in the Super Contest. There's a lot of different things to handicapping this contest, because you're picking against stale lines. The margins for error are so much smaller. You've got a deadline with your picks, all that type of stuff. So last year there were some growing pains. I think this year we figured we'd hit the ground running a little bit, and we did. We were 7-3 over the first 2 weeks, but then things, really slowed down for us from that point. And, I think that when you get into a contest like this, and a lot of people do split this entry fee, whether they do it two ways, three ways, four, five ways, whatever the case may be, it can be tough to get on the same page and sort of be on that same wavelength. And maybe that was just something that we fought with early in the year here.
Sure, and there's adjustments. And think about that. I like what you said, because I almost want to say thankfully it's just the two of us. I mean, I can't imagine if we had five people to talk with every week, because then not only are you dealing with what the contest is giving you, whether it be stale lines or when do you bet on the Thursday games, but now you're dealing with other people, and if you got people that handicap differently or look at games differently, well, that's other obstacles you're really going to do, because there's been times, even with just me and you, where there's games that you've liked or games that I've liked, and we pass just because we can't agree. And some have been winners and some have been losers, but it's just another angle to handicapping the contest. So it's not only a learning process, but that's kind of what makes it fun, too, is the back and forth. I enjoy that. We do it all the time. And I'm sure other teams have to do probably more than we do if they've got more members, but it's just a part of the process. It's really, to me, what makes this contest one of the best.
So as I said here, we're up to 28-31-1. Obviously, site bragging rights do not belong to us, because Ryan, the site creator, 35-23-2, north of 60% now with a 4-1 last week, just a half point out of the money. So obviously we're going to be rooting very, very hard for him here throughout these final 5 weeks of the contest. In terms of how the contest is doing overall, we're at 49.3%, jumped up almost a full percent from last week at 53.92%, because the top five consensus, 5-0. I think it's the first 5-0 here of the year, and that's not really surprising, because the top five consensus now 23-35-2, still below 40% on the year. Year-to-date consensus 83-86-5, 49.11%. Morley, the 15th, is your leader with 41 points. Second straight week that we've had a leader in sole possession of first place. Interestingly enough here, this is kind of a strange thing that we can follow along with here. In second place is a tie between Jank Nation and Mark Davis, two entries owned by the same person or persons. So that's really strange to watch here going forward, to see how they try to play that being in the cash. But we've got a three-way tie for third with 40 points. Then a bunch of other teams within the 39.5 to 36.5 range, which is the cutoff for the money right now. But it's no longer a marathon, Cole. It's a sprint.
That's right. Well, that's right. And look, I just talked about a few of the angles that you'd encounter if you're going to join this contest. Well, you brought up another one. A guy has two entries, same owners. So, I mean, if he gets real close to the end and he knows he's going to be in the money, he arguably could take the opposite side of the pick, knowing one of his teams could do better if he's close on a fence. And of course, that can come back to haunt him too, but it's just so many different variables. Plus, not only is it a race to the finish for the top, but it gives guys like us who are out of it more reason. We joked about it this week. We're streaking a 500. We want to finish over 500 and take some pride in this contest and that we've done well and all that. But then there's mini contests, so it's another variable. All of a sudden, we've got a shot at money again. We've got a shot of not only finishing above 500, but actually raking in some money, which is what this thing's all about. So that's what, to me, just makes it exciting each and every week. I mean, it seems like every week, earlier and earlier, we're emailing each other, texting each other about plays that we're watching or plays that are upcoming that we're going to be on. And that's what brings the energy to not only this contest, but what you and I do every week.
Well, and just a couple more notes here before we get into our plays that we're looking at for this week. Last year, after Week 12, Rounding Again and TD Love Machine were tied for first with 42.5 points. This year's leader with 41, so we're 1.5 behind last year's pace. At this time last year, the consensus was 93-77-6. That's 54.7%. Top five consensus, 33-25-2, 56.9%. So as a whole here, definitely the field down a little bit. But you and I are ahead of last year's pace by a point. Last year we had 27.5 points. Well, we took an 0-5 in Week 12. So certainly better fortunes for us here in Week 12 this year. And we're hoping to roll that momentum in to Week 13. And this week, only one Thursday night game. Last week, Washington was actually a consensus pick, being a Thanksgiving game. So that was a little bit surprising. But you know, this week, the Cowboys-Vikings game is off the table for us. Titans and Browns both on a bye. So 14 games to pick from. We have to pick five of them. The one that we're going to start with here today, the Atlanta Falcons, were a four-point favorite at home against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, and we were close to taking Thursday. At least we talked about it this week. The Zimmer thing, a big deal. But this Falcons-Chief one, we both agreed on from the start. You've been on the Falcons bandwagon pretty much all year. It's taken me a little bit to get on board, but I'm with you. I mean, the Falcons offense, it's on pace to set franchise records, points per game, and total yards per outing, 411. Setting an NFL record of 50 straight starts with 200-plus passing yards, it's Matt Ryan, and everybody's talking about him. MVP. He's throwing the ball all over the place. Besides Julio Jones, the Falcons have seven other players with double-figure receptions this season, six with multiple touchdown catches, and that is why the Falcons are on a tear. They've won three of the last four. Not only that, but they can't slow down because they're dealing with other teams, specifically Tampa, who's keeping them alive. So it's not a slam dunk that not only they're going to win their division, but, I mean, we can assume they're going to make the playoffs, but they still have reasons to play. What my concern has always been with the Falcons is that their defense isn't that good, especially their secondary. And now they've got some injuries they're concerned with, too. But a couple things in our favor. First, the travel spot. Kansas City's in a tough travel spot here. Not only that, but they're in the dreaded divisional sandwich after playing a late game against Denver, and then they got Oakland on deck, which is a very big game for them. To me, it's just a great spot all around, and I really think the Falcons' offense has made that defense look so much better than it really is, and I think that trend will continue this week.
Yeah, I love Atlanta. This is arguably my favorite play of the season here so far. You know, I've talked up the praises of Kyle Shanahan and his play design, and I mean, I saw it firsthand with the Browns, as I've talked about before, where he took a collection of stiffs and made a decent passing game out of it. With Atlanta, he's got the quarterback, he's got the wide receiver talent, he certainly has the running back talent, and he's got the offensive line to do it. So it's not a surprise to me at all whatsoever that this Atlanta offense is just humming along, 6.6 yards per play. You have to love that. Also 4.3 yards per carry, which a whole lot of people don't talk about. The thing here, and you talked about the situational spots, and those are all fantastic, and they're completely going in our favor, but Kansas City is a one-cornerback team. That corner is Marcus Peters. Maybe Marcus Peters can take away Julio Jones, but I don't know who's taking away anybody else for this Atlanta team. That's the really big key to me. Atlanta matches up extremely well with Kansas City. Also, Justin Houston didn't practice on Thursday, wasn't even wearing a helmet, just kind of walking around in a hoodie and pants. So he'll have to check on his status as we get closer to game time. But this Atlanta offense, they have a chance to have a really big field day here against a Kansas City defense that, truthfully, I think has been pretty fortunate this year. I mean, you look at what Kansas City's done, you know, in terms of yards per play. They've given up 5.7. They're living off of 24 takeaways this season. Atlanta doesn't turn the football over a whole lot. And, you know, there are a couple of games like that here this week where, you know, you have some teams that have really benefited from turnovers. Kansas City won't have that luxury here. So Atlanta's in a great spot. And you mentioned Atlanta's defense. It's obviously a concern, but Kansas City's offense is terrible. 5.2 yards per play, like you talked about. The defense is propped up that side of the ball. Love everything about Atlanta here in this game.
Yeah, you know, the defense is right. I agree what you say about Peters. And Houston's a monster. They need him. He had a big week against Denver, like you said, not doing anything in practice. But that pass defense, they're giving up big yards. I mean, 340 yards, three touchdowns, zero interceptions. Trevor Siemian. Granted, that game went to overtime. You could say that was some extra yards. But 2 weeks before that, they gave up 326 yards to Jameis Winston. And I'm not going to take anything against away from him either because he's doing all right this year. Just to me, it's something you have to think about. You know, and not only that, but that game against Denver, while I say it's an impressive win because they've put up 30 points, they needed a safety, special teams touchdown in really five quarters to get it done. So the Chiefs, I don't want to say they're overrated. The Chiefs are a very good team. You never kind of know what you're going to get from them offensively, and even with Macklin coming back, I'm not sure I'm ready to bank on them to put up a lot of points, even against this defense. Plus, Kansas City 0-7 against spread in the last seven games after covering the number. But this number really stuck out to me. Road teams who are coming off a game in which they play five full quarters, 0-9 against the spread and straight up, losing by an average of 16.7 points per game. So you got almost a short week with that late game. You got some travel. You got a team that is probably a little tired and a team that's looking forward to Oakland, and that's a recipe for disaster. I'll drop the points with the Falcons.
Yeah, it is. And keep in mind, too, when Kansas City played New Orleans, I mean, New Orleans only had 21 points in that game, but Drew Brees threw for 367 yards and three touchdowns. The problem was the one interception that he threw became a pick six. He completed 37 of 48 otherwise. So, you know, Drew Brees carved this team up a little bit, too. So when you talk about comparable quarterbacks having success here, you know, you're certainly looking in a situation like that where you talk about, you know, Matt Ryan. Interesting you mentioned that five full quarters thing, because that tie with Arizona and Seattle earlier this year, Seattle went on the road, lost to New Orleans 20-20. Arizona, they went on the road, lost to Carolina 30-20. We're on Carolina in that spot. I think it's the only time we've backed Carolina this year. So great find by you there. It almost scares me, you know, that I love Atlanta this much, and it wouldn't shock me if it was a top two consensus pick here this week, just with the way that the schedule's shaking out. But man, I see no reason to back off of this game. And I'm the kind of person, when I handicap, I know that sometimes this can be counterintuitive to people, but I want to make sure that I'm not, you know, completely blinded, that I don't have the blinders on. I want to look at the other side of a game and say, okay, I got to make a case for the other team here too, just to make sure that I remove some of my personal biases. I've tried so hard to do it with Kansas City. I just can't find an angle. I can't do it.
Well, and you know, that's something I do as well. And that's a great thing about how we handicap as a team, because we have different approaches and we have different views of the game. And that's often what we do when we have this back and forth. And truth be told, even when we go to we both like Team A, there's always things to look for. And usually I'll bring them up right here when we go on the air, and you will too, because we want to make sure that everybody who's listening, whether they want to follow or just, you know, just take our information, that they know that we've looked at every angle. So whether it be injuries on defense, the return of Macklin, I'm going to bring those things up because I want everybody who knows that we've done our due diligence and that we're ready to go with the team that we've picked.
Well, we've got four of our five selections coming your way here on today's show. We're still haggling over the fifth one, but one that we do like, a game that we talked about on Wednesday where the line kind of stood out to us, didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. That's the Detroit Lions, who are plus six this week at the Superdome against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, and we talked about this in detail. And look, I think you're going to see a different game, a different two teams when they play this week. Is this, when you think of the Saints and the Lions, you automatically want to think high-scoring shootout. You want to think of Stafford hitting a bunch of people in that offense, and the Saints hitting a bunch of people, and Drew Brees is Drew Brees, and Stafford is Stafford. But I think this is a different kind of game. If you've watched these teams over the last couple weeks, that Lions offense has actually slowed down a little bit. And I think that's a good thing, because to me, they're getting healthier running back. They're controlling the clock a little more. They're not putting their defense out there to be beaten up. Now, the Saints game, we talked about that too. That was a bit of, I don't want to say it was an outlier, but they were definitely out for revenge, and that's why they put the pedal to the floor and they just wanted to put up a bunch of points against the Rams. But they also have had a better defensive performance of late. That, to me, has to do a little bit with the schedule, but it really has to do with these teams are playing a little bit of different football. It's a little more, I'll call it playoff intensity, if you will, although you can argue the Lions have been playing in the fourth quarter every year, or every game this year. I think they do it again. I think it's another close game. I think the Lions have what it takes to win this game. I'm not going to call that only because it's Drew Brees at home, but I think it's going to be close enough where the points are at a premium, and I like the Lions here.
I think that's the big key here. You know, I mean, a lot of people like to say if you want to take an underdog in the NFL, then you need to think that they can win. And I certainly think that Detroit can win, and Detroit actually, this number is climbing here a little bit today. It's up to 6.5 at the Chris Books. 7 with a minus 140 on the Lions at five dimes. So we're going up against some pretty influential money here. There's been a lot of steam on New Orleans, but I really don't get it. I like both of these coordinators for Detroit. We've talked about Jim Bob Cooter a ton here and what he's been able to do for Matt Stafford, and you certainly have to respect that. But what about Terrell Austin? I mean, this Lions defense has had tons of injuries, just several injuries to the guys in the back seven. They haven't given up more than 20 points in a game since they played the Rams. That was 5 games ago. So this defense is playing really, really well, and they're starting to get guys back. You know, Ziggy Ansah's been practicing all week. Tahir Whitehead's in practice. DeAndre Levy's been practicing. I don't know if he's going to play or not necessarily, but you know, they're getting some of their depth back. And I think that's something that people need to realize when you talk about injuries is that, you know, maybe the second string guys aren't bad, but the third and fourth string guys probably are. That's where injuries really hurt, unless you're talking about a marquee. It's about weakening of depth. And in the NFL, you have to have depth. So Detroit's getting some of its depth back. On the other side for the Saints, you talked about this on Wednesday. I thought this was a great point that you brought up here. The Saints wanted to stick it to Greg Williams, and they did. 49-21. I mean, that was a blowout. Could be a little bit of a letdown factor here for them. Also, they get back into division play with Tampa Bay the following week. But also, we discussed it on Wednesday, this Brandon Cooks thing, I don't think that this is good for the Saints at all. You know, I mean, they've won 3 of their last 5. They've beaten some decent teams this year. But this is the last thing you want with a team that's hovering in the playoff race, a little bit below 500. How does Drew Brees handle it? Does he force feed Cooks the ball? Does he stay away from him as, you know, as I talked about the other day, as kind of, you know, swatting somebody down because he is the leader of this team? I think it's a bigger problem than they're letting on, and I think it could show here this week.
Oh, I think it's a bigger problem as well. And I love Drew Brees. I really do. I think he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, not only that, but a favorite of mine. I like to watch him whenever I can. And I truthfully don't think he would let this happen. Yet at the same time, I think he cares enough about Cooks where he'll try to force him into the ball, if you will. And I think they could actually, I don't want to say offset this offense because Cooks is good, but you're going to try something different than you've been doing the last couple weeks, and that's never a good thing. You mentioned that big win against the Rams. People don't see it like that. You and I do. And look, Saints 2-6 can spread the last 8 games following a win of more than 14 points. So when they're blowing out teams, they usually don't do it quite often in a row, at least. They don't carry it over. That momentum doesn't carry over. I've read a lot this week where people are like, that momentum's going to carry over. They're ready to go. They've got to do this because they're scoring 30 points a game. Yeah, I get it. But this isn't good. Truth be told, if I had to guess, not guess, I'll say it, Lions defense is better, in my opinion. The Lions held opponents to 20 or fewer points 7 times this season. That's tied with Dallas, Seattle, Baltimore, New England, Kansas City, and Minnesota. I mean, those are big-name defenses. So even to put the Lions in the same category says a lot to me. I kind of like that this game's on the road, too. I know the Saints have a great home field advantage. I'm not going to take anything away from that. But I think that plays in favor of Detroit because now they're focused. They're ready to go. The Saints won't be overlooking this. I get it. It's playoff atmosphere. But I just think the points are too high. And like you, makes me a little nervous because I like to be on the smart side or sharp side, if you would. And maybe it's not saying we're not, but when the points are going up like we're seeing it, it's usually a pretty good indication. But this week, you know what? I'm okay with it, even the lines and the points.
And not to mention, too, I mean, the Saints can't run away and hide because Detroit's offense is that good. So even if New Orleans does play exceptional in the first half, the back door is always going to be open for a team like Detroit. You know, I don't see any quit in them. They're on extra rest. You know, they've got the Bears coming up who they should drill. So, you know, this is a spot, too, for Detroit where they feel like, hey, if we can go out here on the road, pick up a really good win, you know, Minnesota's kind of in the tank. Green Bay doesn't have it all together. This is a spot where they're fully motivated and fully focused, and I don't think that people are really appreciating that enough. So keep moving on down the card here. The Buffalo Bills are a 3-point underdog on the road against the Oakland Raiders. Cole, I think you and I were both hoping for a little bit better of a number with this game, but I think the odds makers are on point with just how bad this spot is for Oakland.
Yeah, I think it's a bad spot. I brought up that game with Kansas City, how they're looking forward to Oakland. Oakland has to be looking forward to Kansas City as well because that, to me, is a statement game for them to show that they're the best team in the AFC West, like everybody's thinking, and I get it. And the Bills, they're within the game of the second wild card spot, 6 in the AFC. They really have to win out, or they're going to have to rely on either other teams. They probably will anyway. They haven't made the playoffs in 16 years. And not only that, but Buffalo will play three consecutive home games against Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Miami. Now, Pittsburgh and Miami are tougher teams that could beat them, but they're all in Buffalo, which to me makes this one a really a must win for Buffalo. So I think they're completely focused. The battle in the trenches is what I want to watch. Offensive line for Oakland is incredible. We talked about that. They've allowed the fewest sacks in the NFL, 13. Adjusted sack rate of only 3.2%. Buffalo brings the NFL's top pass rushing team, 33 sacks so far this season. That'll be something to watch. And you know what you're going to get with that Raiders offense? They can't run the ball. The Raiders managed 85 yards in two games against Houston and Carolina. More importantly, they don't need to. They don't want to. The pinky of Carr, they say it's not a concern. He wore a glove. He came back against Carolina, looked fine. I don't think that's necessarily a game changer, but I do think it's something that would concern me just a little bit because I don't see them blowing anybody out. We saw it against Carolina. They couldn't cover. You know, they had a huge lead, which, of course, was much to our dismay because we would have liked that win. But they had that huge lead, and their defense let it go. And for everything we preach, or at least I have for Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin and that defense in Oakland, how it's gotten better, they still got a lot of holes. And I think that's something Buffalo can take advantage of. I know it's a long trip, usually a spot that we'd go against, but for this time, I'm on the Bills.
Well, and this is a spot that I circled a while ago. I circled this spot coming out of that Mexico City game because I figured they would be up for Carolina, and it wasn't a great spot for Carolina either because they were without Kuechly. They had a lot of things going on. But this was the spot that I circled, and I would have loved to have gotten Buffalo at 4, even at a 4.5. But you know, and who knows? Maybe we get that if Oakland continues to blow out of Carolina and Derek Carr doesn't get hurt. Maybe we do get a little bit of additional line value here. But everything is set up perfectly for Buffalo to go on the road and win this game. First, we know it's about their rushing attack. What happens if you run the football? You keep it away from the other team. How does Oakland win games? They outscore the opposition. You can't outscore the opposition if you have a limited number of possessions. So that's one thing. The second thing is the spot. For Oakland, you know, they had a short week last week against Carolina, managed to make their way through that, although they didn't play particularly well in the second half. Now they've got that look-ahead factor with the Chiefs, also the Chargers coming up on deck after that. They have three AFC West road games left. So if they're going to have a letdown, maybe it comes against the Colts on Christmas Eve. I think it comes here against Buffalo. The third thing is that you have a Rams team that's running really good this year. They've been outgained in 8 of their games. They're 6-2 in those efforts. That's not really a sustainable method of success, I don't think. And you know, listeners of the show know I like to do a lot of regression analysis handicapping. I do it a lot with baseball. I look for opportunities in football. I look for opportunities in hockey as well. I think we have one here in football. I think we have the opportunity for Oakland to really struggle with this Buffalo team because all kinds of factors are working in the Bills' favor. Do I think the Bills are a great team? No, not at all. Do I think that if this spot was different, this would be an Oakland -3 line? No, because these two teams are not power rated like that. But given all of these other circumstances, given the regression due for Oakland, how bad their defense is, this is a great spot in my mind. And I really hope the consensus piles on Oakland here this week because the consensus has been a little bit, for lack of a better term, square. And they have backed, you know, some teams like this here in the past, just completely ignoring the spots. Kind of hoping that's the situation here again this week.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, another thing, I'm glad you brought it up. That's another great thing we do. We just don't always focus on the week at hand. Sometimes we go ahead, and you and I have been talking about this since Mexico. I mean, we thought this was a bad spot for them, and I'm glad you brought up the Colts because I think that's a bad spot for them, too. They could lose both to me, especially depending on where the Colts will be at that time and age. But we talked about the trenches for one side. I'm going to talk about it for the other, like you brought it up. Bills can run the ball. You can run the ball, keep the ball away from the offense of the Raiders. They're going to have a shot. I mean, 157 yards per game they've been doing. Look, they rushed for 153 against the Jags, and they were gaining 160 yards rushing in each of the previous three games before that, 6 games total this season. Buffalo also leads the NFL with 16 runs of 20 yards or more, so they're getting chunked. I think that's important from a time of possession standpoint because, to me, if you're Rex Ryan, that's how you have to win this game. Oakland's run defense is getting a little better, but to me it's because they've had bigger leads. Like against Carolina, they really had to go to the pass early to just try to play catch-up. So I think that's a big deal. Plus, the Bills played better to their opposition, especially on the road. 5-0 in the last 7 road games against teams with winning records. I think the Bills are squarely focused on this game because they know they have to win it if they want to stay in the playoffs. Plus, they're going home for three straight, so they'll have home cooking. This game is a difference maker to them. Oakland, like you said, they're going on the road to must-win games against Kansas City and San Diego, two teams still playing hard, still playing for the playoffs. Has to be. So I think they look right past this game. Like you, I think the Bills have a chance to win this game, so give me those points.
Last point I'll make here on this game. Oakland this season has given up the fifth most yards, 4,294, but they've given up the 11th most points. Why? Because they're tied for sixth in turnovers with 19. Well, guess who turns the ball over the fewest times in the NFL? That's right, the Buffalo Bills. They've turned it over six times this year. So if you don't let Oakland take the football away, their job becomes much, much harder on defense and much, much harder on offense. So I talked about turnovers a little bit. With regards to the Falcons-Chiefs game, I think that's something that could play a pretty big role here in this one as well. One more game that we've agreed on here, and then we'll go through the rapid-fire rundown. We talked about this one on Wednesday as well. Let the cat out of the bag really early. But the Seattle Seahawks are laying 6.5 at home against the Carolina Panthers. This number is 7 with extra juice pretty much all across the market here. This one, if it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then we're on it in the Super Contest this week.
Oh, it's a duck. Noon struggles when he's pressured. 40% of his passes, just 40 yards of pass rating, 52%. And look, if Oakland can get after him, Seattle can get after him, there's no doubt about it. Plus, that practice report, glowing for Wednesday. Earl Thomas, Michael Bennett, and Justin Britt, not only participating, but full participants, which means they will be suited up. We talked about Russell Wilson's mobility on Tuesday and how much better it has been over these last couple weeks. Actually, it was last week, 80 yards against Tampa. And I know they lost that game, but perfect storm. We talked about this too. Tampa's off a loss. I mean, Tampa just beat Seattle, so Seattle's off a loss. Coming home, big game, getting all their defensive starters back. Meanwhile, what's Carolina doing? They're holding their heads down. They know it's over. They know it's over. All the talk this week hasn't been, we can still pull this out. I've actually read some quotes that said, we're missing the playoffs because we're not going to execute, where it almost seems like it's inevitable, like they've accepted their fate. Plus, look, CX linebacker Bobby Wagner, 29 run stops this season, tied for fourth most among inside linebackers. That was without help around him. Now he's getting help around him. I really think this game is not even close. I think it's a blowout, and I think it's a double-digit blowout. I'll drop these points all day long.
Yeah, I think this game is a massacre. You know, they still have this Carolina defense with Luke Kuechly. We know how important he is, especially because I don't know if the Panthers could cover me and you at this point. And I mean, I haven't run a route in probably 10 years. So, you know, you've got that whole factor with their secondary. Also, Kirk now injury protocol. So another key piece of this defense now out of the equation, and he's not going to be cleared. Ron Rivera already said that Michael Griffin's going to get the start. So Carolina's down two key guys. They've been out on the road all week long. They've been practicing on the West Coast. They put so much effort into that comeback against Oakland, and kudos to them for that. But we'll have to think here this week. I mean, you know, teams get up to play Seattle and this and that. They've played Seattle each of the last 2 years in the playoffs. They're 1-1 in those situations. Believe me, Seattle remembers what happened last year. I'm not a big believer in revenge angles. We've got one here in this game with a highly motivated Seattle team coming off of that awful, awful loss to Tampa, where, as I talked about, they scored 3 points. They had a holding penalty in the end zone that was a safety to make it a fiver. So Seattle, I mean, it's crunch time for them. It's the month of December. It's time to quit dicking around. They're going to go out there and blow Carolina away, I think. Again, I mean, it always concerns me when I'm so strongly on a play here in the NFL, but I'd be stunned if this one goes the other way.
Oh, I'd be stunned too. And, you know, there's other things that I brought up earlier this week. That offensive line of the Panthers is in tatters. So they need to run the ball if they're going to be successful. And not only can they not run the ball, but they can't protect Cam Newton. And those are two things that automatically are going to be trouble for a team. And you mentioned it. I do think revenge matters, sometimes more than not. And I don't think it's just a matter of taking a team that's in revenge. I think you do a little bit of research. But I think this one matters. Not only is Seattle at home for this revenge game, but they play better later in the season. And like you said, this is the time where good teams, they rise to the occasion, and we have a team. Think about this. You talked about it. They stayed out here all week, right? You talked about it earlier, too, how Ron Rivera said, we got to go 2-0. They lose the first game. Now they got to sit out here and just think about it. So either they're going to be miserable all week or they're going to be distracted all week because they realize that their season is coming to an end. This is where I think these injuries, where you go with the, hey, let's play through it, they go with the, hey, let's get you better for next year kind of scenario. I'm not saying they're giving up because they're not going to do it, especially for a primetime game. But I literally, if I break it down and do pros and cons for each team, I'm not seeing any pros for Carolina. I think this is a tough spot. Even Kelvin Benjamin's banged up. He's practicing as a limited participant. But if you lose him, now they lose a weapon in the passing game. I just think it's going to get ugly. Earl Thomas coming back. Greg Olsen will be in trouble, too. That's a matchup nightmare. Just ugly all around. I can't stomp my foot anymore like you. I'm on Seattle.
And to top it off, I mean, Seattle had a three-game lead going into last week when they played Tampa Bay. Is that not the epitome of a flat spot game? I mean, you're up by three games. Seattle's been to the playoffs a ton. They don't necessarily care about home field advantage. If they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't care. And they had a flat game. It happens. But you look at what they did, or you look at specifically what Russell Wilson did over his previous three games. Buffalo on Monday night, at New England, and then Philadelphia at home. 6-0 touchdown interception ratio. And then last week got his legs going, as you talked about on Wednesday. So, this is a guy that's starting to round into form. He's healthy. He looks healthy. Again, everything is just pointing in Seattle's favor here for this one. So I don't know how much harder we can beat this dead panther, so to speak, but that team is done as far as I'm concerned. So we'll get into our rapid-fire rundown here. We'll go with the Super Contest numbers, also let you know what these numbers are in the betting market, beginning with the Denver Broncos, who are a 4-point road favorite in the Super Contest at Jacksonville, 3.5 in the betting market with the news that it appears Paxton Lynch is going to get the start.
Yeah, I'm reading the same thing, and I think that's going to be problems. Jags are at home. They're still playing decent football. I mean, they played with Buffalo for most of the first half. Could have won that game, depending on a few bounces here and there. That Denver's defense everybody talks about, well, they rank 30th in the league in rushing yards per game on the road. So their defense is horrible. Their offense is horrible, too, when running the ball. So, to me, you can't run the ball. Now you're bringing in Paxton Lynch to try to pass the ball against a Jacksonville defense that can play defense. To me, we've talked about Blake Bortles and how bad he is on offense, and even with Yeldon coming back, I don't think it's great. But give me the Jaguars. I'll take the points. I wouldn't be surprised if Denver got upset.
No, I wouldn't be surprised either. But that being said, my slight lean here is Denver because I think the fact that you go from Simeon to Lynch forces this team to focus a little bit more. And Jacksonville makes mistakes. I mean, they're a young team. I don't trust Blake Bortles to take care of the football here against this Denver defense. So I'm going to lean with Denver here in this spot because I think that their focus level up a little bit here based on today's news. Here's a line that's very intriguing. Green Bay, 6.5-point favorite against the Houston Texans. That's a number in both the Super Contest and the predominant number out there in the betting market.
Too much. I mean, the Packers, they allow the second most passing points per attempt in the league, but face the fourth fewest passing attempts because their defense can't stop anybody and everybody. First of all, they're a very public team. We all know that. And they're coming off a win. So I think a lot of the bettors go, there's the Packers we know. They were just in a slump playing on the road. They were just throwing out excuses to say this team is better. And, oh, by the way, it's crunch time. And, oh, by the way, they're at home. So they're just going to be the Packers we know that beat everybody by 30 points. Houston, for as miserable as they're on offense, they're not so bad on defense. And I really think the defense is what helps because Aaron Rodgers beat Philadelphia's defense by throwing short, quick passes, almost screens, if you will, all night long, and Philadelphia never caught up with it. I think that'll be different in Houston. Give me the points. Not in Houston, but against Houston. I'll take the points.
Yeah, I like Romeo Crennel here in this spot because you've got a Packers offense that's really, really one-dimensional right now. I think he'll have a great game plan for this team because he's got pieces to work with. They've got a decent pass rush, even without J.J. Watt. They got a pretty strong secondary as well. So I'll take Houston. This may be one I push a little bit harder for the Super Contest. We'll have to see how it goes with the rest of our games, but I definitely like Houston in this spot. Philadelphia and Cincinnati. This game is a pick 'em in the Super Contest. Cincinnati, a 2-point favorite out there in the betting market.
Yeah, flip favorite from what I see. But, you know, this is a pass game to me. Technically, I don't want to touch it, but what I do want to see is how Philadelphia will react because that loss was crippling to me, and that loss all but assured this team that maybe they were going forward, maybe they had some progress, but they still got a lot of learning to do. Now they're going to go out on the road. Now the Bengals have been miserable, else I'd be jumping up and down to back these guys. But they've been horrible. I can't put my money on them. But for this segment, I'll take them. Give me the Bengals.
Man, this is a bad game to handicap. Philadelphia 2-6 straight up over its last eight games. Cincinnati's wins. A game they probably shouldn't have won against the Jets. The Jets got in the red zone a ton and settled for a bunch of field goals. Short week against Miami with long travel from South Beach. And they beat the Browns, which we could pick, what, 53 random listeners of the show here and probably at least cover the number against the Browns, who are an underdog this week on the bye. So, you know, I mean, I can't back this Cincinnati team until I see something from them, especially without A.J. Green. But it doesn't make me in love with the Eagles here either. So for the purposes of this segment, I'll take the Eagles. But woof. Speaking of woof, Chicago, a one-point favorite against the San Francisco 49ers at Soldier Field. That's the Super Contest number, and it's also the number out in the betting market.
Yeah, I don't even know what to go here. I mean, this is atrocious. I don't even want to watch this game. I don't want to review it. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to handicap it. Barkley didn't look so bad, I guess. 49ers are awful. They're on the road again. Again, a complete pass for me. I'll take the home team just because.
There you go. That's a hell of a reason, just because. I look, if San Francisco is going to win a game left on its schedule, it's going to be this one. Because you've got a Chicago team. I mean, they have all kinds of injury problems at wide receiver. They're losing linebackers and defensive players left and right. It's still Matt Barkley. So, I mean, I would have to look San Francisco, but there's not, you can't even tease this game. That's how awful it is. There's really no play to make here in this spot. New England is a 13.5-point favorite in the Super Contest against the Los Angeles Rams with the Rob Gronkowski news that he's going to be out until possibly the Super Bowl if New England gets that far. This number is down to 13 out there in the betting market.
Yeah, you know, a couple days ago, and you and I talked about this early in the week, Tom Brady, quarterback, Patriots, 16-24 against the spread as a home favorite of at least 9 points since 2007. They really don't get up for those kind of games. And although they're the much better team, they don't always play like it. But I think this week's a bit different. I think that Gronkowski information, his injury, is big deal because now people are doubting the Patriots. Now people are questioning the Patriots. And if the Patriots love to do one thing, it's to prove everybody wrong. They loved it when Brady was out for Deflategate, coming out and doing well, and they're going to love it again this time to show that they still have the weapons, they can still put up points, and I think they make a point of doing very well this week, and I think they cover this number. It is not a huge game for me only because I hate the drop double digits, but the Rams all the way over here after getting their asses kicked, I think it's a bad spot for the Rams. They're talking more about Eric Dickerson than anything else right now. Goff's going to New England. I just think it's bad all around. Give me the Patriots. I think they make a statement out of this game.
Now, I'm going to take the Rams here. I'm going to go against you here in this spot. And I think for New England, at this point, you start talking about a conservative game plan because they're going to win this division. I mean, they're only two games ahead of Miami, but they're not going to squander this lead. So I think we see a lot of conservatism from them throughout the rest of the regular season because you can't get anybody else hurt now. I mean, if you lose Julian Edelman, your passing game is basically in the tank, even though you've got Tom Brady. And we've seen Brady struggle without Gronkowski in the past. He's certainly used to playing without him. But I just don't think they have that killer instinct here this week. I don't know if they feel like they have to prove anything here by blowing out a rookie quarterback making, what, his third career start. So I think Goff and the Rams hang around a little bit here because they're a pretty decent team at the point of attack. They're decent in the trenches, but not a game that I'd really lobby all that hard for. Speaking of games I'm not going to lobby all that hard for, the Baltimore Ravens are a three-point favorite at home against the surging Miami Dolphins.
The surging Miami Dolphins is right. We talked about this game a little bit offline. It's going to be fun to watch. It's not going to be fun to bet on, I don't think, but it'll be fun to watch because, to me, these are two teams that usually play bad in these kind of situations. One of them's obviously got to win, but I think one of them's got to stand up and say they're a contender, whether it's in division or for the playoffs or both. And we know the Ravens are all about, they play strong defense and they kick field goals. I mean, just 22% of the runs against the Ravens have gained 5 or more yards, the lowest percentage in the league, so they can defend against the run. On offense, they're a little inconsistent. I'm not sure, and I just can't. The Dolphins are playing great football. I just can't buy into them. I want to. I like Gase. I like what he's doing down there. I like how their defense has been a little improved. They're running the ball now, which I think helps Tannehill, but I just can't do it. Give me the Ravens. I think they kicked 12 field goals.
12 field goals and win 24-21 and push, or what? Well, I guess that's 36. Never mind. I can't do math. All right. So 12 safeties. We'll give them 12 safeties there instead.
There we go.
Look, for Miami here, I mean, this is not a great spot for them. They had the back-to-back on the West Coast, came back, nearly laid an egg against San Francisco. They did not play well defensively in that game at all whatsoever. For Miami, is this a point where Adam Gase can rally this team? I think so. I think that they're the better team. I haven't believed in Baltimore all year long. I see no reason to really do that now. But at the same time, I don't feel confident enough to make this a super contest play. So the lean would be Miami, but this will not be on the super contest card. This game could be. You're pushing hard for this one. San Diego Chargers, 3.5-point home favorites against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yes, Tampa Bay out. Big upset. Now they go coast-to-coast for the third time this year. So I think that's going to be a problem. But really, the Chargers, once again, underrated and plenty to play for. They rank fourth in the NFL with 28.5 points per game, have a plus 22 scoring ratio despite being a game below 500. They scored at least 19 points in every game this season. They're incredible. What really killed them last year is offensive line at 24 different starting combinations. Not this year. The main five has stayed mostly intact. And, oh, by the way, they have an average height and weight of 6'6 and 327 pounds. Don't forget, their defense is good. San Diego is the only team to record a turnover in all 12 games this season. They rank second overall with 23 takeaways and lead the league with 14 interceptions. We know about the offense. Nobody talks about the defense. Nobody talks about the Chargers, who are off a big win in Houston. Now they're at home. I think this is a blowout. I think Jameis Winston gets exposed yet again, and I think they're able to stop the run. I think the Chargers win this game big.
I do like the Chargers in this spot. I don't think you're going to have to convince me too much here. I mean, Phillip Rivers looks really good again with Ken Whisenhunt, and that's not a big surprise. But this year they've added the dynamic of Melvin Gordon, and that's just huge for them. Gerald McCoy, a little bit banged up for Tampa Bay, could hurt the interior of that defense. I like the Chargers in this spot. I think that I can get behind that one. I think that maybe that does become our fifth super contest play. Three more games left here in the rapid-fire rundown. We really don't want to touch this one with a 10-foot pole either. Arizona, 2.5-point home favorite against Washington.
No, and I've been trying to find a reason to take Arizona, and they keep disappointing me every time I even talk about them. They haven't been able to put it together. And it's so on paper, they look great on defense, on offense, but they're just not getting it done, and people don't want to point towards Carson Palmer, and this is a franchise that is incredible at home. So it just seems like the easy play is to take Arizona, but it's actually Washington who's playing better football. Tough travel spot, which is why I've scratched it off my card. But in this one, believe it or not, I believe in Kirk Cousins. I'd take the Redskins.
If I had to do anything with this game, I'm looking at Arizona. I know Washington's on extra prep time and extra rest, and I like that because I think that, you know, Jay Gruden in this offense can figure out some route packages to do exactly what Atlanta did and have a lot of success in the passing game. The problem is you don't get Jordan Reed here in this one, and it's a small sample size alert, and it has been, but Kirk Cousins does not play all that well on the road. He's definitely had much more success at home. This is a long trip. For Arizona, I mean, if there's any last stand left in this team, it comes here this week. So we'll see if Bruce Arians can have them sufficiently motivated, but I'd have to look at the short favorite here at home. Pittsburgh Steelers, 6.5-point favorites against the New York Giants.
This is going to be a good game, too, and it's going to tell us whether or not the Giants are for real. They're running the ball much better. You brought that up earlier in the week, and they're playing better defense. Meanwhile, who are the Steelers? Because they're winning games, but either they're not ugly or they're losing those games, and they haven't put what I haven't seen a complete game in a little bit together. This is their chance, and this is a back-and-forth game to me, and it's very easy to take the points here, but I'm going to go small on the Steelers. Give me the home team. I'll drop the point.
Wow, interesting. I'm surprised to hear that. I do like the Giants here. I mean, like I talked about on Wednesday, I feel like Pittsburgh's being rated as if they're the same Pittsburgh team from last year, and they're not. I mean, this is a watered-down offense. Nobody helps out Antonio Brown except for Le'Veon Bell, and I feel like the Giants have the playmakers they need on defense to take at least one of those two guys out, and if you can do that, then you can hang around. So catching 6.5, I do like them here. This number's down to 6 pretty much across the market. One more game to hit on, Monday Night Football, Indianapolis Colts, 2-point road favorites with Andrew Luck back in the lineup against the New York Football Jets.
Oh, yeah. If I could trust the Jets, I would be pounding for this game, too, because I love the fact that Luck came back because it made everybody jump on board the Colts, and I think that Colts allowed 38 yards per opponent's possession, the most in the league. Colts are allowing 8.6 adjusted yards per pass attempt, the most in the league. I get Andrew Luck's great. They can't protect him. Jets defense is getting better and better. They're allowing 4.7 yards per play over the past three games, second fewest in the league. Plus, they're at home. Plus, it's Monday Night Football, and you brought this up with Arizona. If the Jets have anything left to play for, it's in this game, not to mention 18-4 against the spread in the last 22 home games following a home loss. Focus, better defense, adequate enough offense to beat up a Colts defense that's not there. Give me the Jets.
I like the Jets a lot in this spot, actually. I may try and push this one a little bit harder. I don't know if I'll be able to convince you, but Indianapolis has allowed a 66% completion percentage this year and a 22-3 touchdown interception ratio. If there's anything that we know about Ryan Fitzpatrick, it's that he's a decent quarterback when he's throwing to the guys in his own jersey. So if the Colts aren't going to generate turnovers, Fitzpatrick may go out here and have a day. You know, I think if they can get the running game going with Forte and Powell, I like the Jets here in this spot. I think Andrew Luck coming back obviously helps, but the Jets have a pretty good defensive line. Now, they don't have the sack numbers to show it, but I'd be surprised if the Colts can block for Luck here. I'll take the Jets as a short home pup on Monday Night Football. Cole, a lot of excellent thoughts here. Anything else from you?
I can't wait. We got one game to work on, and we got a few out there we like, so this is going to be another great week. I look forward to it.
There you have it, our Week 13 Westgate Super Contest selection segment. You heard the games that we're looking at there with the Falcons, the Lions, the Buffalo Bills, and the Seattle Seahawks. And we've been talking about the Jets and the Chargers as well, so there's a chance that we do swap out one of those four teams. Odds are it would be the Lions just because there's been a lot of steam on the other side in that game. Not that I necessarily agree with it, but we are going over a lot of things here, looking at some more injury reports, all that type of stuff. Make sure you get our full five-play card on Saturday over at bangthebook.com. Cole didn't mention it there at the end of the segment, but Betting the Buckets every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the latest installment going up early this morning here. NBA betting analysis, blazing quick with a pick. Really great segment there. Make sure you take advantage of the Betting the Buckets that Cole does. One more item of business to take care of here this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is this week's version of the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent for this week's version of the Odds Report presented by DSI Sportsbook. Brent, how's it going today, man?
Everything's going fantastic. Having lots of college basketball ready for the big games on this weekend with college football, obviously. So things are coming to a head. And it's nice, too, when you get a shorter card with college football because people basically bet every single game, whereas they might, you know, pick and choose in terms of managing their bankroll. So it's nice, and we get massive volume on these games, which obviously makes it a little bit easier for us in terms of balance action. But, I mean, it also makes bigger decisions, too. So it's always a fun weekend.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is, how's the volume going here for this weekend, and then how much do you expect it to pick up on game day?
Yeah, I mean, it'll pick up like crazy. And to be honest with you, the action's probably a little lighter than might have been expected, but, I mean, NFL is just – the NFL action this weekend, for whatever reason, is really, really heavy. So that might be, you know, a part of it. And also, too, people are kind of managing your bankroll. I mean, you're sitting there with all this college basketball, all this NHL, obviously, still going on and stuff like that. We got past the Grey Cup, so all those people can free up their bankroll, you know, with that being behind us. But, yeah, it's one of those cases where you got so much stuff on the board, people kind of have to manage their bankroll a little better instead of firing stuff, you know, early in the week. They're firing stuff on college basketball and what are not turning over their bankroll like today, waiting for the big weekend.
A little bit of a deviation here from normal with a smaller college card. We've got six college games and seven NFL games here to talk about. And like you said, action a little bit heavier on the NFL than normal. We'll go ahead and dive in here, see where the sharp action is for this weekend. Beginning with a total in the Pac-12 championship game, Colorado takes on Washington. Where's the sharp money coming in here?
Yeah, it's a good game. It's always a good situation when, you know, we've got guys, you know, guys, sharp guys betting the young. We always know the public is going to go over. Of course, it's, you know, a game like this too, Colorado and Washington, it's, you know, your general public is going to look at a game like this and say, wow, there's going to be lots of entertaining, high-scoring game, and they'll pound the over. You know, the Huskies 11-1 taking on Colorado 10-2. It's kind of an interesting game. I mean, Washington hasn't been up for a while, and Colorado's kind of in the same situation. So it's a big game for both these guys, obviously. And I do have sharp action on the total now. We're sitting right now 56.5. I want to mention too that I've got two guys on this one. The first hit we took on the under was under 59.5. Now we're sitting at 50. Took another hit at 58.5. We're all the way down to 56.5 right now as well. So I've just, you know, quite a big move. Obviously, we're talking about like 3 points on the total that I've moved so far. My wager count in terms of the actual number of bets I've taken is almost 2-1 favoring the over. So it's no surprise that you've got the public betting the over in this game. The side, just talking about the numbers themselves on the spread here, I've got Washington as a 7.5-point home favorite. My wager count's almost 4-1 favoring them. So I don't have any sharp action either, you know, on the side on either team, but I do have a lot of public bets all over on Washington, the public all over on the over. But again, two different sharps came in on this one, under 59.5 and 58.5. So that's real strong.
Well, this game in Santa Clara, California, at Levi's Stadium, home of the San Francisco 49ers. So do you think that impacts the total action a little bit here, that these two teams are playing at unfamiliar venues? And, of course, that's kind of a story in a lot of these conference championship and then, of course, bowl games as well.
Yeah, I mean, basically you are looking at the fact that it's a road game for both teams. Now, some teams, you know, do tend to do better in terms of your point potential and stuff like that when they're playing at home versus the road. And I think this is a situation with both these teams is probably like that as well. And again, in terms of us putting up your number, you just kind of figure that, you know, when you throw up your initial number, you're not sure where the sharp's going to go, but you can be pretty sure the public is going to go on the over. So, you know, you might throw up a higher number than expected based on, you know, the neutral field and stuff like that, but knowing that the public is going to bet over. So it's a good spot for us right now in terms of the, you know, the two different sharps going on the under, public all on the over. So yeah, I don't think that, you know, the field and location is something that the public really looks at in terms of, wow, you know, how is that going to affect the total. They just think, hey, these two teams are going to score a lot of points.
Well, we do have a couple of games coming up here, a couple of sides actually, games that don't really have a whole lot of meaning. You've got the conference championship games here this week that everybody's focused on, but there's still Big 12 and Sun Belt regular season conference action. We've got a couple of those games here, beginning with Baylor, who takes on West Virginia in Morgantown, 3:30 kickoff. What's the story on this game?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, if, you know, we talked earlier in the season and said, you know, we're going to be sitting here on, you know, early December, Baylor's going to be playing at West Virginia, and West Virginia is going to be a 17-point favorite. You kind of probably would have scratched your head and said, huh? I think I'll grab those points, but that is the situation that we're on in this game here. We got West Virginia sitting at 9-2, Baylor was 6-5, and I think most people might have, you know, kind of expected that to be the other way around with these two teams. But yeah, West Virginia is the big home favorite now. That line has moved from 16, where the first hit came with sharp action that we took. So I do have sharp action on this game. It came on the side, West Virginia minus 16. We're up to 17 right now. And it's kind of interesting in that I've got a lot more public action than I would have expected on West Virginia as well. Typically, they will go, you know, a heavy favorite like that at home and bet the over as well. And that's kind of the situation that we have here as well in terms of the public going with West Virginia as well. But just Baylor's kind of like one of those name brand schools that you kind of expect to get a little more public action on. But we don't really at this point. My wager count is almost like 3-1 favoring West Virginia, which is kind of surprising for me. I would have expected to be more balanced. But I'm not surprised with the early sharp action on West Virginia minus the 16. And we're sitting at 68.5 on this total. Just all public action driving this number. We've gone from, I think it was like 66.5 all the way up to 68.5. Now again, 2-point move on the total, but it's all public action there. My wager count on the total is almost like 6-1 favoring the over, but no sharps have chimed in on the total yet, Adam.
I think when you give up 96 points in 2 weeks at home to Kansas State and Texas Tech, I think people kind of start to sell their stock in you, and that's certainly the thing that's going on here with Baylor here this week.
Yeah, you could bang on. And also, if you look at West Virginia in terms of the points that they've been able to put up to, they got a decent offense. You know, the Iowa State last week, they put up 49, so it's not like they're not capable of putting up points. And, yeah, I mean, Baylor's just, yeah, they've been giving it up in, you know, leaps and bounds. So, yeah, the 16, we're at 17 right now. And, again, like I said, public is on West Virginia as well, so I wouldn't be surprised if that number crept up a bit more.
Well, let's go to the biggest game of the weekend here, that one between New Mexico State and South Alabama. Everybody's going to be focused on this game. Sharp players certainly are. We've got some action here in this one.
Yeah, barn burner here with New Mexico State at South Alabama. We're sitting at 12.5 without South Alabama right now. I took sharp action early in the week with the opening number minus 10.5 on South Alabama. So I have sharp action here on this one as well. South Alabama's on another side for you, minus 10.5 at home to New Mexico State. Again, my total in terms of wager count is almost 3-1 favoring South Alabama. My money's way one-sided with favoring South Alabama as well. So I've got the public betting South Alabama. Almost no one on New Mexico State at all right here. So New Mexico State 3-8 on the road. Again, sharp action came on the minus 10.5 with South Alabama. We're sitting at 12.5 right now. Like I said, we're just kind of fishing for a bet back and haven't got anything on New Mexico State. So unless the sharp chimes in, in the next day, I could see this one going up to 13.
South Alabama can get bowl eligible with a win. We'll see if they actually would get to one. But I wouldn't be surprised if you saw 13, maybe 13.5 here in this one, because New Mexico State, quarterback injury, nothing to play for. You've got this must-win factor for South Alabama. So number that definitely looks like it's going to keep going up. Let's get back into the conference championship games here then. Louisiana Tech, Western Kentucky for the Conference USA crown. What's the story here?
Yeah, Western Kentucky right now sitting as a 10-point favorite to Louisiana Tech. We're seeing a high total, no surprise, of 80 right now. Sharp came in. Actually, sharp action both on the side and total of this one, Adam. We took money sharp action on total at minus 81.5. Took another bet under 81, so I have two different sharps. Again, whenever there's a couple different sharps involved heavily, I think it's always worth mentioning. A couple of guys going the same way. This is a case where under 81.5 and under 81 they came. Now, our initial move on the total wasn't as drastic off the sharp move simply because I've got so much more public money on the over. Wager count over almost like 5-1 there. So, when you look at moves, you got a couple of sharp guys going the same way. It's legitimate a question, why haven't we moved further? But if I look at my big chart, as I call it right here, I've actually have a little bit more money on Louisiana Tech. So I've got a lot of public money driving the over here, but two different sharps on the under. So that's definitely a nice spot to be in. And on the side, Adam, minus 7.5 was sharp on Western Kentucky. So we've driven this number up all the way to 10 as well. A similar spot to the New Mexico State game where I've got almost no money back on Louisiana Tech. So we've gone from 7.5, kind of fishing our way up to 10, still not a drop back on Louisiana Tech. So it's almost a point now we're trying to say, okay, what's the kind of a number where we at least stop getting Western Kentucky money? And they did lay I've got decent money on the 10 as well when we were at Western Kentucky. That's why I moved up to 10.5 and back down to 10. So I didn't really get anything sharp back when we went to 10.5 on Western Kentucky, but we kind of played with the number and came back down just kind of looking like, well, it's a little too early maybe to go to 10.5 from the 7.5. So we're 10, but it's a move that we made and might go back to.
I don't want to badmouth any other sports books, and it may be a little bit unfair of me to mention this, but it is in our listeners' best interest if they're looking out there to get some of the softest lines they can find. BetOnline actually opened this total 73.5, and once Bookmaker came out with the 80.5 over there in the Chris family of books, they copied that number immediately because they got several limit bets at the number that they had posted. So, for our listeners out there, they're maybe looking to take advantage of some things or get a little bit more of an idea on how the industry works. There's a pretty good example for you. One more college sharp look here. This is also a total in the Temple and Navy game, and I don't think that too many people are going to be surprised by what the sharp move was here.
Yeah, this is one of those spots at Navy playing. Navy's a 2.5-point favorite on the side itself. We got Temple 9-3, Navy 9-2, and again, two different guys here on the under, which is why we've driven the line down a full 3 points now. 64 is where our first sharps bet came in. Also came back. We actually moved a full 1.5 off that move from 64 down to 62.5. Took another sharp bet at the 62.5, sitting down at 61 already. Now the public hasn't jumped all over the under on this one, the over on this one, which they have in the other major game, for example. But this is a game right now where I've got a couple different sharps. Again, two different sharps involved in this one, both on the total, both on the under, under 64 and under 62.5. I've got kind of like dribbles back, on the over 61, but nothing really worth noting. Just basically public money on the over, almost 3-1 favoring the over. My money's almost like 3-1 favoring the under, though, in terms of the actual dollar volume of bets that I've taken on this game. So that's probably the sharps, pulling the bigger bets down on the under. So right now on the side, Navy's a really big count for me right now in terms of the actual number of bets I've taken, almost like on favoring Navy. So it's a lot of bets, a lot of one-sided bets there for Navy. But I don't really have anything from this game in terms of the side at all. But definitely the under is a sharp play. This one as well, like I said, at 4 and 62, Temple and Navy.
All right, well, we'll flip over to the NFL side here for Week 13. As I mentioned, we have 7 games here, and a lot of them sides. So plenty of sharp action in the NFL market this week. Beginning with this game between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Atlanta Falcons, 1 o'clock kickoff here. What's going on with this game?
It's a pretty good game on paper, at least, Adam. I mean, this is one of those games where you know, go up and down the chart and you say, you know, I think I might sit down and watch this. In terms of the records, at least involved in this one, you know, it's obviously a big game for both the teams as well. Kansas City 8-3, right behind Oakland in their division, just ahead of Denver as well. So it's you know, a big spot for them. And you got Atlanta. I mean, they haven't really distanced themselves in their division, but they are at home. And I do have sharp action on the side here, and that came on Atlanta -4, -05. So they're the sharps with the home team there. Again, Atlanta's -4, -05 is where the sharp action came in. We're sitting at 4.5, -110 either way right now. So we have made the, you know, a full move in terms of the money and the half point move. My wager count, you know, is almost favoring Atlanta, so I do have public money on Atlanta as well. My dollar volume is almost 2-1 favoring them as well. So I got, you know, that's the typical sharp money going with them. Totals right now I'm sitting at 49, which is kind of like a high total, especially when you consider Kansas City's defense and stuff like that. It's been pretty sharp, you know, all season long, kind of opportunistic defense they have there for sure. But the sharp action I did take on the home favorite, Atlanta -4, -05, Adam.
So when you look at something like that, where you took the sharp hit at 4 -05, and now you're sitting there at 4.5, what would it take for the 4 to come back up?
Basically a sharp the other way, because I mean, if you look at our wager count, I do use our wager count quite a bit in terms of trying to get a feel in terms of which way the action is going to go. So right now, I mean, if I take away the sharp action on this game, I do have more bets on Atlanta, so we'll kind of get the feeling that the public's going to go with Atlanta. So if I go back down to 4, you figure, you know, that it's going to be a sharp action that kind of forced that move, because the public has kind of shown their hand so far in terms of betting Atlanta, and I got sharps with them as well. So I mean, if anything, if nothing changed the way this game was right now, I would say we'd probably go up to 5. But I mean, you know, 4.5 and 5 isn't a huge move for us. But if it dropped back down, you could be sure that was a sharp action that made that move.
Well, we'll keep moving right along here, excuse me, with the Sunday card. Houston and Green Bay. Houston, 6.5 point dog here in this one, out on the road at Lambeau Field. Who's getting the sharp love?
Yes. Houston's just—I don't know—it's kind of like they're kind of like one of those teams, Houston, where it's just you can't really get a good feeling for them, but the, you know, the feeling is not very good. Green Bay, obviously, I mean, they had the big win last week. It was a game that they basically had to win in terms of staying, you know, in that division hunt. You know, Minnesota's right ahead of them. Detroit's ahead of Minnesota leading that division. So it's a spot where Green Bay obviously had to win that game and to stay afloat. The Eagles did too, and they obviously fell flat. So it was a big win, I think, for Green Bay, and it could be, you know, one of those games that maybe turns the season around, because they hadn't shown a whole lot of life heading into that game. I do have sharp action on Green Bay as well in this case. Again, the home favorite getting love here from the sharp guys. -6, -05 is where the money came on Green Bay. They're at home to Houston, lines up to 6.5 right now. Again, Green Bay, you know, you're always going to get public money on Green Bay, especially when they're at home. And a team like Houston just doesn't inspire a whole lot of confidence, especially from the public guys. You look at their, you know, points for, points against, stuff like that. They have like a negative net, even though they're leading the division at 6-5 and stuff like that. But the, you know, Osweiler, the quarterback, their running back, I mean, they just haven't had it. Even their defense hasn't been the same. So it's one of those spots where you kind of figure that your public money is going to be all over Green Bay. That's definitely a case. When I look at my wager count in terms of the actual number of bets I've taken, almost 6-1 favoring Green Bay, so that's a really high count. My money's probably, what am I looking at, almost like 3-1 favoring Green Bay as well. So looking at the kind of chart in terms of where the money's come in, even at 6.5, it's pretty much one-sided favoring Green Bay. Now again, at 6.5, that was all public money. The sharp action came in at 6-05, so the public's still, you know, still betting Green Bay and laying that number. So you know, I could see this one pop up to 7 for sure.
We'll head down to the Big Easy here. A couple of dome teams getting together in New Orleans. That's the Detroit Lions and the New Orleans Saints. Some pretty significant line movement here in this game.
Yeah, New Orleans is one of those teams that's just like funny to figure out, I guess. Well, Detroit too. I mean, no one would expect them to be leading their division at 7-4. I don't think, but there they are, 7-4, leading their division. That this line has moved quite a bit. I mean, it opened up kind of low. I guess you might want to call it at around four and juice and 4.5. Driven all the way up to 6.5 right now as we are. Now the sharps did come in on this one when it was at 5, so they didn't jump on the early number, even though it did get mostly public money as well. Driving that number up, but right now we have New Orleans as a 6.5-point home favorite, so another home favorite here with the sharp money. They did bet on New Orleans -5 is where the sharp action came. Looking at my actual number weight this game, my account's actually not too bad. I mean it's almost, I'm not gonna say it's even, about 1.5 times favoring New Orleans. So the total is gonna be no surprise in terms of the weight count that I have, almost like 8-1 favoring the over. So that's a ton of bets on the over. Don't have anything sharp involved in total at all, but we are sitting at 53.5, so you can see that number going up because the sharps haven't played it yet, so the public's basically going to bet the over. And looking at this game, when heading into the week, Detroit at New Orleans, you kind of knew that the public was going to be all over the over, and that's definitely the way it's been. Again, heavy count, 8-1 over, but the sharp action came on New Orleans on the side at -5.
One more 1 o'clock game to get to here in this week's version of the Odds Report. San Francisco and Chicago. I'm finding it very hard to believe that anybody wants to bet this game, but we've got some sharp action on it.
Yeah, it's almost one of those games where I don't want to mention it because we're going to have to sit here and talk about it. But, when you want to talk about it, you want to say, have something good to say about either of these teams. And, we're talking about San Francisco, who's lost 10 in a row, and Green Bay, who's won two games all season long. So it's one of those things, really? But we do have line movement on this one. Chicago was a 2-point favorite. They're down to a 1-point home favorite now, hosting San Francisco. And the reason for that line movement was sharp action on San Francisco. So I have sharp action here, San Francisco +2. No surprise maybe that my wager count's almost dead even, not a ton of action. But my money definitely favors San Francisco. So now, and that's because of the sharp action. Again, your sharps come in, and they typically bet, your max limit wager on the side, which is the case here on San Francisco +2. We're down to 1 right now. And, the public's not overly involved in this game, obviously, because this is one of those games that's just on paper. It's just kind of ugly. And it's like, a lot of people, too, the rationale is kind of one of those things where, people are going to want to sit down and watch the game as well. And who wants to sit down and watch this? The public's kind of staying away from this one. Wager count on the total is about... No surprise there, as usual. We're sitting at 43.5 right now, but the side is where the sharp action came in, Adam.
The line cut out when you said the wager count. So what did you say it was again?
Wager count is on the total. It's almost 3-1 favoring the over, so no surprise there.
I heard that. What about the side?
The side. Okay, the side was almost even.
Okay.
Yeah, wager count on the side is almost dead even, so the public's not heavily involved in this one at all, just the sharp action.
All righty, we'll move on from that game here. We'll go to one of the late kicks, that is Washington and Arizona. Another one of these games, it seems like it's kind of a tough game to make a play on, but we do have some sharp action on it.
Yeah, I think, too, you look at these, there's a lot of teams this year where it's kind of like tough to get your head around these things. And Arizona, I mean, so much more was expected of them this year. They're sitting at 4-6-1. And Washington they did really well last year. And they're still they're being scrappy Washington that like they were last year, sitting at 1. They got the Giants and the Cowboys ahead of them, though. So they're trying to, probably gunning for a wild card spot right now, realistically speaking. And I do have sharp action on this one. Now we're getting our first road dog for sharp action, and that came on Washington +3, -125. We're sitting at 2.5 right now in this game, so Arizona, the home favorite, -2.5. My wager count actually favors Washington, and maybe surprising, because I think Arizona, in terms of, Palmer and the offense, the public generally wants to side with teams who put up more points, and Arizona has typically been that team, not so much with Washington, but the public is with Washington as well. So my wager count's almost 4-1 favoring Washington. When I look at my money, it's almost like 5-1 because of that sharp action and public money on Washington as well. So we're sitting at 2.5 right now. Not a whole lot of money back on Arizona. We've obviously got some, because both sides are going to get some love from the public, that's for sure. But the sharp action came in on Washington +2.5. Just touching on the total, we're sitting at 49 right now. Nothing to speak of, of note at all, other than the wager count about 2-1 favoring the over. Total of 49 here.
Well, out of the 7 NFL games here, we've got sharp action on a total in one of them to talk about here on the Odds Report. That is the New York Giants as they take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Seeing some total money here in this game.
Yeah, Giants and Pittsburgh. It's one of those games that's on paper at least looks like it's gonna be a decent game. We got Pittsburgh seems to be, you know, a lot better team at home. That's for sure. I mean, obviously that's, you know, most teams are like that. But Roethlisberger, you look at his numbers and stuff like that. He seems to be, you know, a lot better at home. Pittsburgh is sad to say 6-5 and tied for the division lead with Baltimore. So a big game for them, but it's big for the Giants as well because they're sitting at 8-3, right behind Dallas, obviously. So it's a big game for both these teams. We're sitting with a line of Pittsburgh right now -6/-115, but I do have total action that came in sharp on the under this one. I actually have two different sharps on this one, under 49 and under 48.5, and we're sitting at 48 right now. And again, if people want to say, you know, wow, how come you haven't moved more? Just again, Giants Pittsburgh, just, you know, it's almost like a New Orleans and New England kind of situation where people you just know the public's going to be all over betting the over, and that's certainly the case on this one. The wager count's almost like 5-1 on the over. So that's quite a big count in terms of the over action that we've taken in terms of the actual individual bets. But my money, you know, heavily favors the under because the two sharps are involved. Again, they went under 49 and under 48.5 on this one.
One more game to talk about here in the NFL. That is Monday Night Football. Indianapolis Colts road chalk against the New York Jets here. Andrew Luck cleared to play, so that explains what happened with this line. But what's the story with the sharp action?
Yeah, I think when they drew this one up, they were expecting a little more from both these teams. We're sitting here with the Colts as a road favorite. That line has dropped down, even though Luck is playing. We're sitting at 1.5 right now, and that is the sharp action that came in on the home team, the Jets. Now, just as a kind of like a general rule for us, if we're, you know, the Sunday night games, Monday night games, Thursday night games, whenever we need the home team as a dog, it's kind of like a good spot for us. We certainly feel comfortable in terms of, you know, needing the home dog on a big night game. This will be a situation like that as well with this game. I've got a lot of public money on the Colts, which is no surprise. I mean, the Jets are just one of those teams that no one kind of seems to like, and why would you after they've only won 3 season long? And again, for Tennessee, it's a big game. They're right behind, for Indianapolis, it's a big game. They're right behind Tennessee and Houston here for the division, and Luck is back, of course. So you got a wager count almost 4-1 in terms of the actual number of bets I've taken. I have almost like 4-1 in terms of the actual money I've taken favoring the Jets. So a lot of small public bets on the Colts and the big sharp game. That's +2/-05. So you might have to hold your nose and fire on this one.
Well, a lot of good insights here from Brent of DSI Sportsbook with those 13 games here that have sharp action from guys on the list. Brent, really appreciate your time as always, man. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you again next week.
Have a great weekend, Adam.
Well, there you have it. There's the odds report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, we'll have our NFL Week in Review and Monday Night Football Preview. That's with Joe Everett of NFL Draft Bible. Preview that game between the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets. Also recap what we saw on NFL Sunday during week 13. And then we'll have a full hour with Kyle Hunter of huntersportspicks.com with our college football first look. We'll have bowl game lines to talk about, so that'll be exciting. And then we'll also talk college basketball during the Handicapping the Hardwood segment. So great week of Bang the Book Radio here. If you missed anything, catch up on it over at bangthebook.com on the podcast page, full shows, and also the cutdown segments. So make sure that you tune in to anything that you may have missed here this week. So thank you very much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Monday.